Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
I had it in my bedroom before.
I like to keep the raw footage in the front.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you
and sorry, there. And I never used it, really, because I never was in my bedroom because it was before it was time to actually go to bed. So I thought, no, instead I will use it in my office so that I really can enjoy it and it will energize me or calm me down depending on what I need or inspire or, you know.
And it'll bless you too. A little oil goes a long way. They're great for wearing. They're great for burning. If you have those little burners, you put a little candle under it.
Yeah.
Put a little water in it because those are they're highly concentrated.
Yeah.
And you will love them. You will love them. I'm telling
you.
That's my PB&J, girl. I love a good burn offering. It makes me just feel so good. It carries your dreams and visions and blessings and all that. And here's one, a blessing, brains, all the way from Norway. Alexandria Marjanska. Did I say
you can
perfect?
Say so. It's Alexandra Marjanska, but great many people say Marjanska, and I actually love it. There is some edge into it.
I know, that's what we try to do here. Okay, so wait a minute. Roll it off your tongue one more time again. Alexandra Marjanska?
Yep, that's me.
That's her. Okay, from Norway Brains. I'm telling you, I go all over the planet for you to try to bring you the best, the brightest, the most innovative, and here she is. But you know what? She's got a niche, okay? Because she works with high achievers, you know, because they get burned out. She is a mother of two. She is a strong entrepreneur. Look at that smile. You guys haven't seen her videos. I mean, she's on fire. And she loves the word intense, okay? That is her PB&J because, again, she wants you to be passionate about what you do. Alexandra, tell us a little bit more about you and how you show up in the world and what you are doing there in Norway, girl.
Well, that's actually one of my impossible dreams come true when you ask about Norway, because I'm originally Polish, as you might guess, out of this weird tongue-twisting surname. But it was one of my impossible dreams. And actually a few years ago, I had this realization. It was in the point when I was really asking this question, like, what am I truly an expert in? What am I an expert in? And I was in this transition into my true passion-based business. And I realized one day, without really pushing this realization, it just suddenly came to me that I can, with the hand on my heart, say that I'm an expert in making impossible dreams come true.
Oh, wow.
And I made it my profession, but I really deeply realized, like, kind of looking back and connecting the dots of my own life story, that my own life story is really made out of impossible dreams, impossible goals, impossible visions coming true. And also, so that's like, and I could obviously list loads of them, and I'm actually doing this on my lives on Monday right now because I was getting these questions. Yeah.
Let me ask you a quick question. Is this through manifesting?
I wasn't a conscious manifester. It wasn't, you know, this word wasn't a part of my vocabulary, but I think I just had this intuitive approach as well as this very academic approach. Like, I'm a weird mix. And I'm really, also recently, I have identified this piece of my identity, because if you ask me who I am, I've, for quite a long while, I now had this conscious answer that I am definitely an achiever, obviously, that I am an explorer, that I am an adventurer, that I am this researcher, the academic mind. But there was one piece that has always been there, but kind of unnamed, uncaptured, in my own consciousness, and this piece was The Alchemist.
Wow.
So The Alchemist is kind of, you know, either turning shit into gold,
right,
or creating something out of nothing. And this principle of impossible goals, I use this phrase obviously to provoke, because really I do not believe in impossible things. The impossible is what inspires me. It's what attracts me the most. This is the most exciting challenge for me. And I love the word challenge as well. So if you guys listening are resonating with the word challenge and you are rather like on fire and inspired and provoked to action by this word, and not discouraged, not scared, not thinking like, oh, challenge, it will be a lot of hard work.
I know. I like a challenge.
If it puts you on fire, you are my audience. You are my people. So,
hey, you hear that? She said that she's looking for inspired people that love a challenge. Is that you?
Love a challenge. Love a challenge. Constantly.
Absolutely.
Constantly. And I say, like, I'm one of these freaks of this world who really want to challenge the impossible and change the status quo.
Right.
That would probably be one of my mottos and, you know, one of my mission statements, I would say.
Well, you know,
I realized,
Alexandra, people get comfortable in the familiar. They do.
Not my people. Huh? Not my people, though.
Well,
that's the thing. Most people.
Not my people either, you know, but they do get comfortable and they have to find themselves. They have to want to be adventurous. They have to want that taste to land on their palate, because it's work to be innovative, to be creative, but then to act on those things.
Mm.
Tell us a little bit about your academics, because you are really smart.
Thank you. Sometimes too smart, because that's the thing with achievers in great many areas, that we have some incredible strengths. But when we don't know how to manage these superpowers that we have, then they can easily get out of control. And this is what I then call the overplayed strength that then causes what Dr. Donna Marino calls high achiever syndrome. I would even say hyperachiever syndrome, because it's not really about the level of achievement. It's about our hyperactive, overdriven approach to the process of achievement itself. But my academic career or path, if you wish. Yes, so I always knew that I wanted to study. Like, I've always been this eager, passionate learner, way beyond, you know, the teacher's expectations. And probably this is also already in primary school is where I noticed the first signs of my tendency to burnout, also out of this, you know, of this fire burning in me. I actually passed out. I actually fainted for the very first time in my life when I was only in like fifth or sixth grade.
Wow.
And it was not because of any pressure from teachers, never from my parents. My parents saw it very early on. So it also, it indicates that it has been a natural part of my personality type. Mm-hmm. So when I talk about achievers, to me, the achiever is not defined by the level or kind of so-called success that they are having, and all the people are then clapping and saying, oh, I admire you, have achieved amazing things, extraordinary things. These achievements, these extraordinary things, are more of a natural result of this personality type of this person. Like, they cannot help themselves. They need to go and achieve and create and learn more and explore more and challenge themselves more constantly. So I knew, like, this academic passion has always been there, to the point of burning me out in my even early school days. So I went to university, one of the best ones in Poland, University of Warsaw. And back then, I've been picturing myself as doing some valuable groundbreaking research. So not kind of sitting in with my nose in the books and just repeating the same clever stuff that others have said, just reflecting on it a little bit more. But I wanted to discover new truths. I wanted to discover new understanding. And in my case, it has always been about people. It has always been about the culture, the communication, the social norms, relationships, co-creations, systems. So I chose social anthropology. And I always wanted to contribute with something new within that field. But I also knew that I didn't want to kind of stick in this quite hermetic academic environment. Mm-hmm. I wanted to find a way to tell about these new discoveries, about this new understanding to as many people as possible out there, so that this message and this research really has a social impact.
Absolutely.
And then, so School of Reportage has come into the picture as well at some point with the best reporters in Poland. I was so lucky, and it was such an adventure to be a part of this journey with them and really develop these skills as well. But also at the same time, you know, I'm a professional coach, and when I was growing up and when it was time to choose studies or choose career, like, we knew about psychology, but we didn't really know about coaching that much, and definitely not about professional coaching. The world still doesn't know much about professional coaching, because coach is this used over everywhere word.
Oversaturated.
Definitely. And now, you know, now things like...
Because it's oversaturated, it's diluted.
Definitely. So it's so diluted. And this is also why it's really hard for professional coaches to explain what they do, because so many people doing consulting, teaching, guiding, motivational speaking, they all call themselves coaches.
Right.
But none of these things that I've mentioned just now is coaching, actually.
Right.
So and people are confused, and no wonder that they are.
Okay, so let's get your definition of coaching.
So I would say that my definition is closest to ICF's definition, so International Coaching Federation. So it's about helping someone either achieve specific goals or grow themselves as a person. And really, these two are very connected, because in order to achieve any goal that is challenging for you right now, you need to grow yourself first. You kind of, there is always this principle, you need to first become the person that is able to make this thing that you want happen in reality. Okay. So these are combined. But the thing about coaching is that it's not like this facilitating this growth, because it's all about facilitating growth. It's all about facilitating change. But great many professions can support this facilitation in great many ways. And in case of coaching, I say that, like, the biggest power of professional coaching is that it really brings you back to your own ownership, to your own authority, mm-hmm. To your own resources, because it's not an advice from the outside. It's not an explanation. It's not teaching, right. Really. It's connecting you to your own truth, to your own values, to your own decisions, to, you know, the whisper of your own soul, the wisdom of your own mind. And the coach, through certain questions, sometimes weird questions, questions that no one else usually asks you.
Mm-hmm. Like I do.
Opens up. Yeah. So it's more about not giving you as my client access to my expertise in anything else than coaching itself. Right. But it's
you're
me.
A facilitator.
Yes. Me as a facilitator to give you full access to your own wisdom, to your own expertise.
And a lot of times, Alexandria, what people fail to grab hold to is that coaches have a lot of responsibility. I say this time and time again. You are holding this person's self-esteem. Sometimes you're holding their wallet. You're holding their future dreams. They are really looking to you for guidance. But I love your explanation, because you're saying that the ultimate GPS is inside of you.
Yeah. And it's what you say.
Someone points you in the right direction.
Yeah. And many people might still like reach out for a support from a coach because they are in a vulnerable place. Maybe they are confused. They don't know which path to choose. Or maybe they're, you know, they're standing like in my client's case, they're really on this mission impossible. It's very, very difficult. It's hard, emotionally hard, and strategically and in any ways. It's really super challenging to be on it, on this mission at all. And especially if you feel like you're on this mission alone. And with people that I work with, people that I speak to, I know that these are very few people. It's not like, you know, an average person that will meet another average person and they will be on the same kind of wave and
With
understand
super
each
brain,
other.
you deal with super brains.
Yeah, yes. And visionary. And, you know, so these people might be considered crazy because they are coming with these visions. They are coming with
like
these ideas. And
I don't like crazy. Because what is crazy? Yeah. We're all crazy.
Yeah, for me, it's a good crazy, right? I love it. But it's just, it's not, you know, it's not average. It's not
right.
mediocre. And for men, and it's not maybe happening if it's really visionary. It's not only that it's bold. It's not only that it's ambitious. It's really very often something that no one else has done or no one else has done it in this way.
Right.
So it's really cutting edge. It's groundbreaking. It's super innovative. So it hasn't been seen in this way before. So when you share a dream, a goal, a vision like this, great many people in general in the population would say, well, this is impossible, or at least highly improbable that you will make it happen. And why bother? And, you know, oh my gosh, it takes so much effort and so much time and there is no guarantee of the result. Like, this is a definition of an impossible goal or dream to
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at people like Einstein, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a perfect example. You have a philosophy. You say, dream big, but have little goals.
Yes, so this comes to this, you know, again, like these visionary high achievers need to be really careful with the general advice that is given out there. Because I want to explain to you all like the mechanism that is going on. These natural achiever types are not a big percentage of the human population. But great many people, probably everyone, yes, has some dreams, ambitions in life, no matter big or small, who are we to judge? They are ours. To us, they are important. That's the key. So not every single person is a natural achiever. So we have all this general advice about, you know, get out of your comfort zone, like do something meaningful. Don't just sit and waste your time watching Netflix hours and hours and hours. Use it to something productive, something constructive to make your dreams come true. But the thing with achievers is that all this advice is actually based on modeling the achievers, observing, like taking the most successful people, the most innovative, you know, the people that have taken the world forward, and looking at, okay, so what are they doing? What are their daily habits? What are their mindset? And let's tell the others how achievers achieve.
Right, right.
So that we can learn.
Yeah, and let's mimic this prototype, you know, but again, that's not helping you evolve into who as the individual you are.
No, and then what happens is that this achiever also wants to achieve even more, because high achievers very often don't consider themselves flying so high because, you know, the earth is here. They might be already flying so high up, but they cannot see how high they are flying because where they are aiming is up there.
Right.
So they still feel, no, but you haven't seen much from me yet. Like, this is just the beginning where I am. I'm actually going there. So they're also interested in all this stuff. What can I do to achieve even more, even faster? And very often there is this time pressure. You know, when I invite people to my club, Goal Achievers Club, I have these screening questions. And one of the questions is like, tell me which struggle you are experiencing the most currently or in general that you have this tendency. And in the last 2 weeks, the one dominating is I'm frustrated because I'm not progressing as fast as I would like. And yet I know that these people are doing such an incredible amount of things. They are so productive, so active every single day, every single week. So when these people also feed themselves with the same advice as all the others, it means do even more of what you are already doing. But the thing is, with this advanced approach and advanced reflection about goal achievement, is that you don't need to do more of that. You actually, if you try to do even more of what you're already naturally doing so well, you take an overdose of your own pill. And this is what brings you from this achiever that is excited about this challenge to the achiever that is exhausted by the amount of challenge, by the amount of overwhelm, but the amount of stress, the amount and the speed of things they want to achieve in a very short space of time because they feel this time pressure and they want so much and life is so short. They don't need this kind of advice. They need the advice that will help them find a healthier and happier way to achieve what they want to achieve, because otherwise they are not ending up reaching their goals. They're ending up burnt out and collapsing and being, you know, stopped on this journey. So the result is very different.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm going to take some of that advice because I am an overachiever. That's the same thing to speak to a perfectionist. You know, it's quite the opposite. People say, oh, I'm a perfectionist. Well, you know what? Sometimes that can be perceived as insecure because you never find that perfection. There's always going to be something that needs to be tweaked, edited, filtered. It's not good enough. I could have did this better. Did you see this lighting? Did you see that dress? I didn't make enough money, yada, yada. Okay, so you're still having that conversation. So for people to just be able to level off, I love that. And to be able to, again, do some self-reflection, like during COVID, it was a perfect pause. You know, we have nothing but time to sit and reflect. To journal, to see where we are, to track, measure, and monitor our success, and reassess your goals. It's like I see people do vision boards all the time. Mm-hmm. They never put obstacles. That vision is always the straight trajectory, straight to the moon. You know, well, sometimes you have to stop in between and adjust, and things are not always going to go as planned, and you can't beat yourself up because that is the learning process. When you have to stop and you have to make adjustments and you have to have a great coach, you know, well, let's change the subject because you are smart in other ways. You are a mother of two. Now, you're the super high achiever. You are coach of high achievers. There's you love the word challenge. You love the word, you know, impact and influence. You really want to be a force. But you got two little brains there.
Oh, yeah. They have vital brains.
Now,
I must say.
Two things. Firstly, brains, she did home birth. So we want to talk to her a little bit about that.
Impossible dream. Another one.
Impossible dream.
And I can tell you,
And I want to know what you're pouring into these little brains because, again, this is genetics. You know, your thought process, your mind, all of that has filtered into these little people. So first, let's start with the home birth. Girl, no. Why did you do that? I wanted that anesthesia. I want the nurse.
Really? Yeah. And I'm absolutely.
Man, I want all that.
You see, and again, as a coach and also as a human being with this belief very strongly incorporated into my entire value system, I do believe that you should have the home birth that you dream of, that you feel comfortable with, that you are looking forward to, that would be the best experience for you as you can envision it. And for me, like I in general like natural stuff. I also, I for some reason, just when I was reading and preparing myself for the first birth, I got this great book from my friend about hypnobirthing. And it doesn't mean that I was doing the hypnobirthing, but you know, I've been doing coaching. Actually, in August, I will be celebrating 10 years of professional coaching. And I've done so many different coaching schools searching for the one that would really give me what I wanted. And as we discussed in this industry, it's not that easy because the word is diluted. But through this process, I was also at this point when I was pregnant for the first time, I was very familiar with, you know, guided meditations, visualizations, different kinds of mental training. So it was easy for me to tune in into that. And then I wanted to have this best experience, like supernatural flow, just as I want with goal achievement. So I was reading this book, really talking about how birth is a very natural process, how the woman's body is created and designed to do this job. Like all these women were giving birth to all these kids. And in some areas of the world, they still do, like, somewhere into the wild, you know, and it still usually goes well.
No
And I
anesthesia,
was,
no midwife, no Demerol.
yeah. So everything was fortunately going well with the pregnancy. So there was, no contradiction to it. But yet, like, it was impossible, even in this understanding that no one even gave me this alternative throughout the entire pregnancy. I was never asked, by my GP or midwife, like, would you like to give birth at the hospital or would you like to have a home birth? Everyone just asked, and these questions matter, like these pre-assumptions, these pre-frames matter. Which hospital do you want to give birth at? As if home birth wasn't just a part of this reality.
Absolutely. I get you.
And then I thought, and it was really like literally 3 weeks before the due date, when I suddenly got this realization, what if I want to have this natural birth? If I want everything in this hospital to go almost as if it was at home, like, why not just give birth at home? So I went to my midwife, and believe it or not, this is like the manifestation part, I guess, and universe co-creating with you. So I went to my midwife, and guys, I live like in a tiny Norwegian village, not city with loads of options. My midwife in my tiny Norwegian village. When I said, you know what, is it actually possible to give birth at home? Turns out she is the most experienced home birth midwife in the entire country.
Oh my, what?
I'm like, and you didn't tell me? And she also, oh, because I don't know how it will be perceived. I was criticized before for, spreading the word about it. So now I kind of keep my mouth shut. I'm like, are you kidding me? We are doing this. And I had full support of my man, and I called my parents, and they were like, what? They were having almost like, a heart attack. And they made me promise them that I won't do it, that I'm, that I went out of my mind. So I lied to them. I basically just to calm them down because I didn't want them to, freak me out and call me every
Absolutely.
day. So I just lied and I just made this nice story that seemed probable, easy for them to believe. And just afterwards, I told them, and not only did I have the experience that I wanted, really relaxed, really peaceful, beautiful, intimate with this midwife and my man. And actually, I have a wonderful mother-in-law. So she was also there because for her also, it's this magical moment becoming grandma. It was just absolutely amazing. And not only that, like, I'm not kidding you, this birth was pain-free. Pain-free. It was just this phenomenal, fascinating sensation in my body and me allowing my body to do its job.
Well, right, naturally. You know, they go through the process. That's beautiful. So you have two children now, and you did this twice. What are your dreams and goals for your children?
I don't have any smart goals for them because I think it's up to them to design them, to discover what they are. So I really seriously don't have any specific goals or ambitions for my kids. I just want them to live an aligned life, and I just want them to know, have this faith, has to have this, understand how obvious it is that they might live their dreams, that they have this potential, that they have this possibility. And I'm more of an observer, actually. I'm really, as a mom, I think I've been from the very first day of their lives, I was rather curious. I wanted to explore, I wanted to discover, get to know these amazing creatures, like who are they really in their core? And support them in exploring and expressing that.
That's huge, you know, because you're allowing them to be. Because I don't know. I have a little different philosophy. Again, I'm a woman of a particular age. I've got some years on you, and I have a grown daughter. I don't want to control her. You know, I tried that and it didn't work. And I don't mean control, but really navigate more about who she was. She is this creative. And so I have to let her create. That is where her joy lies. That's where her finances lie. That's where her future lies. But as a parent, I have a responsibility to not let her always express and explore her free will. I need to be able to help her dodge a bullet. I need to be able to interject. You know, they don't like your opinion. I'll tell her something and she'll go, oh, are you kidding me? She'll hear the same thing Alexandria told her and, oh my God, you know, the light bulb goes off. So you have to consider a balance there. It's hard. You know, we have to be the disciplinarian. I always told her.
But we are. And, you know, with the brains, the thing with the brains.
Exactly.
Super brains.
You guys. Is,
they, as kids, like that's their nature, they will challenge you. And they will test the boundaries. And they will try to push the boundaries. Big time, great many times.
But they're going to look at you. They're going to look at you as an example, as a trailblazer.
So I'm not saying that by allowing them to express themselves, they have permission to do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. It would be crazy and actually not beneficial to kids.
I don't mean that. But see, the reason why I say this is because the generation of millennials now is far different than when I was a young woman. I mean, we had a set of strict guidelines now, and we were able to make decisions. Now I see that it is just different because of the way that we've raised children to become more options. You know, oh, Johnny, you don't want to eat your peas? You don't have to eat your peas. Me? You eat your peas. You know, you play. So it's a lot different. But when you go into the workforce, even working with millennials, I find that, and it's, you know, I'm not coming down on them, but you have to tell them each nano thing to do. They don't, because of the way that they were raised, you know, the way that they communicate, it is a different time. So it's not about, it's not disciplining your child. It is, but it's just rearing and adjusting to the sign of the times because it's very different. You know, some kids you have to tell each thing, okay, when you wash the dishes, you rinse the dishes, you dry the dishes, you put them away. That's cleaning up the entire kitchen. You know, I had a situation with my daughter, same thing with dishes. I told her there was like maybe 8 dishes in the sink. I said, would you wash the dishes? She said, yes. I come back in there and there's 4 dishes left in there. I said, did you wash the dishes? She says, I washed the ones I used. And I'm like, no, you know, really. So again, it's the communication style that's different, you know, and when you're working with super brains, when you are working with, you know, children that have challenges, you've got autistic children, you've got emotionally distressed children, you've got kids that are being bullied, that are being isolated, you know, so you have to really, as a parent, you got to listen to who they are, figure out who they are, and figure out who you are. And we're going to do that with Alexandria and her coaching. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, because I'd love for them to work with you. I mean, really, if you are not that super overachiever, this might be an opportunity for you to explore something different and something new that you didn't even know resonated inside yourself. Please tell them, Alexandra, how to get in contact with you.
So I think if you just want to reach out to me directly, the simple traditional email, traditional at this point, email always works. So Alex with KS, that's the trick. Alex with KS. What's the word in English for the thing?
An accent?
No accents in my email, but it's Alex and then what? The alpha thing. What is it called?
Oh, at. I forgot.
At, obviously. Alex at goalachievers.eu. That's the email. And if you want to kind of have this personal dialogue going with me, interact, stay in touch, follow me, then Facebook is my favorite platform at the moment. So just like my name here, you can see it, Alexandra Mariańska. That's my personal profile. You can find me there.
Well, we're going to find you everywhere because I'm going to put all of this information at the end of the video. We're going to put it down. And Brains, go in and tap in and watch her Facebook Live videos. They are short and sweet, but they are jam-packed with information. And she is so fun, and she's so smart, and I love it. I love a super brain. I really do. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge with me and my brains, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Come on back, baby. There's always a seat at the table here in San Diego. And maybe Woo! I'll make my way to Norway.
Welcome. And San Diego is definitely on my list of to-go places. So
bring those two smart kids with you. I'll take them to the zoo.
Oh, yeah, they would love it. Thank you, April. Cheers.
All right. Bye, brains.